Harper Audio presents Dumb Witness by Agatha Christie, performed by Hugh Fraser.
Chapter 1. The Mistress of Little Green House. Miss Arundel died on May the 1st. Though her illness was short, her death did not occasion much surprise in the little country town of Market Basing, where she had lived since she was a girl of 16. For Emily Arundel was well over 70, the last of a family of five, and she had been known to be in delicate health for many years, and had indeed nearly died of a similar attack to the one that killed her some 18 months before. But though Miss Arundel's death surprised no one, something else did. The provisions of her will gave rise to varying emotions: astonishment, pleasurable excitement, deep condemnation, fury, despair, anger, and general gossip. For weeks and even months, Market Basing was to talk of nothing else. Everyone had their own contribution to make to the subject, from Mr. Jones the grocer, who held that blood was thicker than water, to Mrs. Lamfrey at the post office, who repeated ad nauseam that there's something behind it, depend upon it, you mark my words. What added zest to the speculations on the subject was the fact that the will had been made as lately as April the 21st. Add to this the further fact that Emily Arundel's near relations had been staying with her just before that date over Easter Bank holiday, and it will be realized that the most scandalous theories could be propounded, pleasurably relieving the monotony of everyday life in Market Basing. There was one person who was shrewdly suspected of knowing more about the matter than she was willing to admit. That was Miss Wilhelmina Lawson, Miss Arundel's companion. Miss Lawson, however, professed herself just as much in the dark as everyone else. She, too, she declared, had been dumbfounded when the will was read out. A lot of people, of course, did not believe this. Nevertheless, whether Miss Lawson was or was not as ignorant as she declared herself to be, only one person really knew the true facts. That person was the dead woman herself. Emily Arundel had kept her own counsel, as she was in the habit of doing. Even to her lawyer, she had said nothing of the motives underlying her action. She was content with making her wishes clear. In that reticence could be found the keynote of Emily Arundel's character. She was, in every respect, a typical product of her generation. She had both its virtues and its vices. She was autocratic, and often overbearing, but she was also intensely warm-hearted. Her tongue was sharp, but her actions were kind. She was outwardly sentimental, but inwardly shrewd. She had a succession of companions whom she bullied unmercifully, but treated with great generosity. She had a great sense of family obligation. On the Friday before Easter, Emily Arundel was standing in the hall of Little Green House giving various directions to Miss Lawson. Emily Arundel had been a handsome girl, and she was now a well-preserved, handsome old lady with a straight back and a brisk manner. A faint yellowness in her skin was a warning that she could not eat rich food with impunity. Miss Arundel was saying, "Now then, Minnie, where have you put them all?"
"Well, I thought, I hope I've done right, Dr. and Mrs. Tanios in the oak room, and Teresa in the blue room, and Mr. Charles in the old nursery."
Miss Arundel interrupted, "Teresa can have the old nursery, and Charles will have the blue room."
"Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I thought the old nursery being rather more inconvenient—"
"It will do very nicely for Teresa."
In Miss Arundel's day, women took second place. Men were the important members of society.
"I'm so sorry the dear little children aren't coming," murmured Miss Lawson sentimentally. She loved children, and was quite incapable of managing them.
"Four visitors will be quite enough," said Miss Arundel. "In any case, Bella spoils her children abominably. They never dream of doing what they're told."
Minnie Lawson murmured,
"Mrs. Tanios is a very devoted mother."
Miss Arundel said with grave approval,
"Bella is a good woman."
Miss Lawson sighed and said,
"It must be very hard for her sometimes, living in an outlandish place like Smyrna."
Emily Arundel replied,
"She has made her bed, and she must lie on it."
And having uttered this final Victorian pronouncement, she went on,
"I am going to the village now to speak about the orders for the weekend."
"Oh, Miss Arundel, do let me. I mean—"
"Nonsense. I prefer to go myself. Rogers needs a sharp word. The trouble with you is, Minnie, that you're not emphatic enough. Bob? Bob? Where is the dog?"
A wire-haired terrier came tearing down the stairs. He circled round and round his mistress, uttering short staccato barks of delight and expectation. Together, mistress and dog passed out of the front door and down the short path to the gate.